Kaufman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Ritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hales.
A quorum is present. Mayor Hales will be joining us a little later this morning. Colleagues, the first order of business today is to elect a new council president. I would ask for a motion to nominate Commissioner Dan Saltzman as council president for a term ending December 31 of this year.
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been moved and second. Could you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Ritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. It's unanimous. Congratulations,
Dan. Thank you. Well, thank you.
Here we go.
Okay. So the first order of business is got the rules for council meetings. The purpose of council meetings is the orderly consideration of the public's business. Preservation of order and decorum is necessary for due consideration of matters before council. The public is welcome to attend council meetings. During the meeting, there will be time-limited opportunities for public comment on various agenda items. Although citizens can sign up for communications, public testimony on a council calendar item must address the matter being considered. Please state your name for the record. We do not need your address. If you are a lobbyist, please disclose that information at the start of your testimony. If you are here representing an organization, I ask that you please disclose that as well. Unless otherwise informed, each community member will have 3 minutes to speak in front of council. At 2.5 minutes, you'll hear a beep and a light will flash on the box before you. At 3 minutes, you'll hear 4 beeps and the lights will flash, and that will be the time for the next person to speak. I ask that you respect the time limit so that there is time to hear from each person who has signed up to speak. If you have any handouts, please give them to the council clerk, and she will distribute them to us. Please testify only to the matter at hand. Oregon law allows the public the opportunity to attend council meetings. The council rules direct the presiding officer to preserve order at these proceedings and allow the public opportunity to offer testimony specifically addressing currently pending matters. Council rules of procedure seek to preserve the public order and to ensure that council's deliberations proceed efficiently and that all who want to participate get to be heard. Conduct that disrupts the meetings, for example, shouting during people's presentations or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. Please show your support or displeasure with your hands, i.e. thumbs up or hands up and down. This is a warning that anyone disrupting the proceeding may be escorted from council chambers and excluded from City Hall. Lastly, if needed, the council will take a half-hour break at approximately 12 or 12:30, depending on the schedule. And I'll announce that when we reconvene. Or, I'm sorry, forget that last point. Okay, so we are now ready for council communications. Sue, read the first item.
Item 780, request of David Keith Davis to address council regarding war on cop watchers by the city.
Okay, so Ms. Davis isn't here. Will you read the next communication, please?
Item 781, request of Alexander Crocus to address council regarding affordable housing and job polarization crisis. Would you please come up?
Welcome. If you could just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Alexander Crocus, thank you for hearing me, everyone. For 17 years, Oregon has prohibited enacting mandatory exclusionary policies to create affordable housing. Only 2 states in the entire nation refuse to provide this vital protection to their local citizens, Oregon and Texas. Senate Bill 1533, which was passed on our state legislators during the last legislative session and recently signed into law by Governor Kate Brown, was promoted a solution to our affordable housing crisis. The generally accepted formula for pricing affordable housing units is derived from applying 60% of the region's annual median wage. Unfortunately, Senate Bill 1533's definition of affordable housing is households with incomes equal to or higher than 80% of the median family income. According to Portland Housing Bureau, The median family income for a family of four in 2015 was approximately $74,000 in Multnomah County. Applying the minimum 80% coefficient factor against the region's median wage for a family of four is equivalent to just under $60,000. If the threshold rose to 90%, then a local family would have to earn almost $67,000 annually to be able to afford any of these exclusionary zoned units. In rural and urban areas encompassing the entire state of Oregon, middle-wage jobs have continuously diminished, while low- and high-wage jobs have increased significantly. This employment pattern is defined as job polarization and perhaps could be considered similar to the infant stage of cultural imperialism. The Oregon Office of Economic Analysis displays an over 20% increase in high-wage jobs in urban areas from 2008 to 2015. Low-wage jobs also rose in the Portland metro area by 20% in the past decade, while middle-wage jobs have decreased by almost 10% in the same time period. The top four occupations for individuals located in the Portland metropolitan area had an average median wage of only $24,000 in 2012. The top specific occupation was a retail salesperson, followed by food preparation service, including fast food, and the third top local profession was a cashier. In 2015, office and administrative support, sales and related occupations, and food preparation and service-related occupations provided the most employment support. The average median annual wage for those top employment sectors, which employed over 370,000 local residents, was only $31,000 in 2015. Applying 80% as the coefficient factor for the initial determination enables housing developers a favorable opportunity to appeal to a wealthier out-of-state customer who possesses the monetary capacity to actually afford one of these units. Our local affordable housing crisis will continue to exist as long as we allow realtors and developers to use this higher threshold in the initial determination for pricing structures. This new exclusionary zoning law essentially discriminates against families making less than a minimum of almost $59,000 here annually in Portland. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Please look into that. Thank you.
Okay. Sue, could you read 780 now? Mr. Davis is here.
Request of David Keith Davis to address council regarding war on cop watchers by the city.
Hey, Mr. Davis, you know the rules. You have 3 minutes.
So you guys seem to have a real big problem with even the words child sex trafficking being mentioned in City Hall. And I was hoping Mayor Hales would be here since he's at the top of the feeding chain of getting funds from child sex abusers, just like Nick Fish, Dan Saltzman, and Steve Novick. I'll give Amanda Fritz thumbs up for not accepting any funds from Terry Bean and other child sex abusers. And, you know, you say you must address the agendas on the item. Well, last week I was arrested here, and I was actually speaking on the agenda items. And then that caused a chain reaction where three other people were arrested, including Joe Walsh. And you guys wouldn't even let him use the bathroom, which is an ADA violation. Okay? And because I dared to mention the words child sex trafficking on an agenda item talking about safe streets, if you cut off citizens and have them arrested within 30 seconds of speaking, how do you know what I was speaking about? Just because I dare utter the words child sex trafficking when we're talking about safe streets, you know, a lot of things in society are interconnected, and it's not all just like it has to be specifically about this code or that code. It wasn't that. Okay? So you guys illegally had people arrested, cop watchers, okay? Two of them were cop watchers, okay? And also Mary Ang, too. She's a cop watcher, too. So three cop watchers got arrested. And then you have Joe Walsh, a 70-year-old vet. You deny him even taking a crap in City Hall. He had to go cost the taxpayers $5,000, $10,000 to go take a crap in an ambulance. And, you know, District Attorney Rod Underhill has no problem with out-of-town mayors smashing cameras like mine that was smashed after the Rose Parade last year, okay, by Greg Moss, and then you guys all hung out with him, shaked his hand, and and said, oh, we're really sorry that it went down like this, Greg, you know? And so you have no problem with out-of-town mayors smashing cameras of citizens, even though it's on video, and those charges get thrown out, but then here you are arresting activists at City Hall, and people like me who filmed Barry Joe Stull getting beat up on November 25th, which you guys still haven't even provided the surveillance camera footage from City Hall because you're covering up for your crime, okay? I was falsely imprisoned, falsely charged with crimes, and I filed a tort claim against the city, which you guys know about, okay?
Okay, Mr. Davis, your time is up.
Cool.
Thank you. Please read item 782. Mr. Davis, please have a seat.
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding hard sports versus soft sports.
Well, maybe you guys could actually answer some questions instead of being like, okay, I'll listen to things but never address the issues. It's not much. I didn't do this on purpose, but there you go.
Hey, welcome, Mr. Wilkins. Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
I'm Mr. Shedrick Wilkins, and I'm here to say that I just read in the Oregonian that yesterday that the corporate tax was denounced by the Oregonian, no mention that this tax is for schools, making $1 billion for public schools. So it's not likely to pass. In 1999, there was talk of school cuts, and I remember the first thing they were going to cut was sports. Not science teachers, they're the most valued, art and history, but sports. This was very serious. Then I think Mary Vera Katz and Bev Stein, Multnomah County, passed the county tax. So I had to pay art tax, Saltzman. So it got shucked off, but coming around again, hard sports to me is football and baseball. Hockey is a very hard sport. People have helmets on. Soft sports are more like basketball, basketball, volleyball, or soccer. Those are soft sports. I think we should cut hard sports from our school programs. A baseball is clocked at like 80 miles an hour now, these people get injured by these hard sports in our public high schools. Another example was when I was in the Army, in the artillery, we played touch football. We were not allowed to hurt ourselves. We're supposed to hurt other people if there's a war. We didn't play hard football. The officers wouldn't allow it. You know, as officers of this city, you should not allow high school kids to bust each other up, take steroids so they can be professional sports players. This stuff needs to stop. I do like Portland, Oregon, because of the fact that we do not have the Seahawks professional football team, nor do we have a professional baseball team like the Mariners. So we're ripe for this. Whenever I talk here in December, if the corporate tax fails, I will address the Dixon Building, which is near the Lloyd Center. And half the children in this area in Oregon go to school here. So I think we should eliminate hard sports. Also, Commissioner Fish and I have had a flu for the last 3 weeks. It's not a bad one. I mean, I've had ones where I've thrown up. Yeah, I think we got it from the Rose Festival fleet. But anyway, we need to have medicine work on these diseases. For the last 3 years, I've been getting sick. I remember from 2003, there was something went around. And for 10 years, and all of a sudden, last 3 years, we need to concentrate. Maybe we're on the verge of a pandemic, and we need to deal with that sort of thing, making sure we boost our immune system, use maybe stem cell technology, and forget this sports stuff. Like I say, we didn't play hard sports in the Army. We weren't allowed to.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkins. Could you please read item 783?
783, request of Crystal Olinsky to address council regarding 5% vacancy rate.
I don't see Ms. Olinsky here, so could you read 784?
784, request of Glenda Hughes to address council regarding small business and contracting with the city. And she contacted me. She's ill and we'll have to reschedule.
Okay, great. So that completes our communications, and we're ready for our first time certain.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm late.